all yours.
Thank you very much. My talk will be on development of high throughput markers for yield component, and later cover wheat streak mosaic virus resistant gene. We work in Texas, and drought tolerance, one of the essential objectives we pursue in wheat improvement program, based on the data from the National Drought Mitigation Centers, it shows that Texas from 2000 to 2015, they have been experiencing drought annually, with a variation only occurring in the intensity as well as the area cover affected by the drought. We recognize that traditional plant breeding approaches have led to significant yield improvement, but we also know that there are challenges that come with it, specifically significant time liability that's attached to that. So our objective was to map the QTS linked to yield components under contrasting moisture conditions across the states in the United States. So to achieve that, we set up a population of recombinant inbred lines where we phenotyped it across eight populations. The two highlighted environments were under well-watered conditions, and six were under drought conditions. All experiments were planted using alpha lattice design. We took measurements on grain yield in all the environments, but due to logistical limitations, other traits like days to heading, test weight, biomass and yield components were taken in a subset of environments. Phenotypic data was analyzed based on a linear mix model fitted using residual maximum likelihood, which then enabled us to estimate both best linear bias predictors and best linear bias estimate for QTL analysis. To define genetic architecture of quantitative traits, we need information on markers. We fingerprinted our population using a SNP chip, 90,000 SNP markers. The raw data was processed to filter out all monomorphic markers using Genome Studio, where we ended up with 8,819 SNPs that we exported for linkage map construction in JoinMap. But before we did that, we had also to filter out all those markers that have significant segregation distortion, as well as markers that have similarity of score of 1.0, meaning that they are providing the same genetic information. So to minimize genetic redundancy and improve speed of computation, we have to eliminate one marker. We did QTL analysis in GenStat based on two models. We ran the first model of simple interval mapping. QTLs were identified. We ran composite interval mapping to control genetic background. And then for interaction pattern, we did that based on an R package called CAP. So to just share with the results of grain yield, at the top plot is a profile plot with the red horizontal line indicating the threshold value above which a QTL was declared present. And the bottom one is a heat map of those QTLs that were mapped in the profile plot. The y-axis of the heat plot is environment, and we have a common x-axis, which are linkage groups. So for yield, we identify QTLs mostly on chromosome 2B, 5A, and 5B. The QTLs are color-coded depending on the high-value allele. The red-colored QTLs in the heat maps indicates that the high-value allele is from the paternal parent, and the blue color is from the maternal parent. But most importantly, we were looking at the effect size of those QTL. We found out it's highly variable from QTL to QTL and environment to environment, as indicated by the bars. But QTLs on chromosome 2B had high effect size in most of environments, going up to 0.5 tons per hectare. The variation was highly variable. Phenotypic variation captured by the QTLs, it ranged from values of about 2.6 to a maximum of 46.7% in different environments. We also measured volumetric weight, which is basically weight per unit volume in pounds per bushel. Again, chromosome 2B turned out to be the hotspot of QTLs we identified, with most of them having high-value allele originating from the maternal parent in this case. The effect size in this particular case, it showed non-specificity for the environment, except for the QTL on chromosome 2B, which showed high variability and relative to yield, we didn't observe very high phenotypic variation captured by this QTL. We had a maximum of only 14.6 on chromosome 2B. So for in wheat, we also look at yield components. I'll just cover one in the interest of time. We measure grain weight, where we count 1,000 kernels for each genotype, take weight and compare to find out if there's any line that has genetic merit for this particular trait. We mapped QTLs on number of chromosomes spanning from chromosome 1A, 2B again, 5A, 6A, and 7B. Most of these QTL showed consistency as they are color-coded. So we didn't observe significant QTL by environment interaction, except for one QTL on chromosome 2B, which showed a switch in color from red to blue and vice versa, suggesting that that particular QTL had significant QTL by environment interaction that is of crossover type. In terms of effect size, it's also highly variable, except for one QTL on chromosome 7 on the extreme right, which showed consistency in effect size from one environment to the next. And the variation was ranged from values about 1.0 to 28.9 maximum. So in this particular study, we also wanted to define the interaction patterns and the nature of those interactions. So we did that particular analysis. And in this output, the black concentric line indicate different linkage group, and each light gray lines outside indicate traits, the innermost one being grain yield, and as you walk outside, you walk all the way to test weight, the traits are indicated in the slides. So the interaction patterns are indicated by the arrows inside the concentric ring, with purple arrows indicating favorable interaction between QTL. For instance, the QTL on chromosome 2B showed favorable interaction with the QTLs on chromosome 6B, but the same QTL on chromosome 2B showed unfavorable interaction with the QTL on chromosome 5A. Most importantly for us, we wanted to build the models of those QTL that show significant main effect size and favorable interaction between QTL and QTL, as well as QTL and trait. So in this particular output, I'll just use grain yield and biomass to explain what's going on. Now, they are both affected by the QTL on chromosome 5B, the QTL on chromosome 2B here, and the QTL on chromosome 5A. They are color-coded depending whether that particular QTL has enhancement effect or has a repressor effect. In this case, all the QTLs has enhancement effect. But we found out that the QTL located on chromosome 1B here, it had a repressor effect on the QTL on chromosome 2B. Most of the QTL on 2B had high effect size. So in our building up of a model of markers that are associated with this particular QTL, we will not pursue that particular QTL on chromosome 1B, given that it suppresses the effect of a major QTL on chromosome 2B. We have built several models, and currently we are still validating those markers in different population in order to come up with diagnostic SNPs that can have utility in wheat improvement. So we looked also at wheat streak mosaic virus disease. WSM2 is a gene that confers resistance to the disease. The virus is transmitted primarily by wheat cull mite, which are disseminated by wind. This creates a problem in the field because there's a gradient where you have hot spots with high disease pressure and areas of low disease pressure, and therefore it becomes difficult to identify lines that have genetic merit under disease pressure. So we set up a study to identify and validate diagnostic markers that are linked to this gene in order to circumvent the problem of phenotyping in the field. Now, to achieve this, we did a study in the growth chamber where we planted recombinant inbred lines plus checks. We inoculated mechanically with a strain of the virus called Sydney 81. Then we took disease severity scores at 21 and 28 days post-infection on a scale of 1 to 5, where 1 indicated resistance and 5 susceptibility. In order to localize the WSM2 on a genetic map, we had to convert the score into marker-like information. In most of this study, we had scores categorized in two groups. Most lines had score either less than 2.0, and others had a score between 3 to 5. But before we used that information even to localize WSM2 on a genetic map, we had to determine that they fit one-to-one ratio based on Mendelian expectation for single dominant gene. And the chi-square proved that, where the calculated value was 0.76 compared to tabular value of 3.4, and therefore we failed to reject the null hypothesis that they fit one-to-one ratio. The results we found is that it agreed with the previous study, two studies that worked on this. The first study was based on SSR markers on the extreme left, but they found two markers, that one located 30 and another one 45 centimorgan. That is clearly not amenable for marker-assisted selection. They followed up with the study. They narrowed that distance to about 3 centimorgan. They identified one marker highlighted in blue, X102, and recommended for marker-assisted selection. It has been used, but it doesn't work in all genetic background. So in our study, we populated that particular region with SNPs. We identified 10 SNPs from region of 3.4 centimorgan to 5.1. But most importantly, the question we asked is, does these markers work in different genetic backgrounds? So it formed our basis of our next study, where we've converted those particular SNP flanking them, the region of interest, from a multiplex to a uniplex platform based on competitive allele-specific PCR chemistry. We validated them in seven different populations. Two of the population were double haploids and five were F2 segregating for the gene. Three markers worked in different population. For example, the first marker right here, this one worked in four of the population 2, 3, 5, and 6. The second SNP worked in all the population that were used for validation except population 3, and the last one only worked in last two populations. So with this, we have increased the spectrum of breeders with the markers they can use. Now we have four markers for WSM2 gene. If one doesn't work, you have 3 degrees of freedom to choose from. So with summary, yes, we have completed the WSM2 work. The work on drought is still ongoing. We have putative QTLs located on chromosome 1A, 2B, 3B, and 5B, and we are in the process of validating them in independent population we have developed at Texas A&M. So with that, I would like to thank my funding from Monsanto Bichel Bolag International Program, Texas Wheat Producers Board, as well as Norman Bolag Leadership Enhancement Program from UC Davis, our very own Bolag Institute at Texas A&M, and the Triticale Cup. I thank my advisors and all the team in Texas A&M University involved in wheat improvement program. Thank you.